The days in the ground, Christ our Lord is risen. Death comes.
we need remain, and we have to accept him. It's our choice to remember that the Spirit is here to help us once we've been immersed and have taken on our Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need reminding of that. And not everyone knows and recognizes that there is a Redeemer. But we're going to sing about him because we know about him. So let's stand as we sing. There is a Redeemer.
Maybe you didn't feel like coming, but after church there was a full crowd. good friends, but not necessarily somebody that they chummed with all the time, you know, it was over each other's house or anything all the time, but good friends. Church was a focus for them. That was a center for their both of their families. My parents had not been Christians extraordinarily long. Less than 10 years. But there were lots of things in here that hit me. One, she was ready for her to see her again. She missed that normal fellowship that she had. She was excited for new things that were coming into her life. The new baby, the second baby, the baby. She was excited.
Let me put my tongue.
But in this note,
it's not funny.
I was telling my wife, I said, when you know the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey tells me. I said, it's not all what it appears in the note. And Catherine probably didn't know anything about this yet either, but she was going to be very soon. Is that my middle sister, Lillian, the one who's mentioned in here being born, was allergic to my mother's milk. So she would vomit continually, every time that she ate. And my mom was staying with her in Kansas City Hospital when this was probably being written. And it got worse. We have pictures of Malene that was a little skeleton. You could see the skin drawn over, and that was about it. Until 17 formulas later, they find a soybean formula that blew up and got bad mud. And my mom always said, once you've had one, that's it. You like to send back. And so that was going on. That's not mentioned in the letter anywhere. You know about it. 2 years later, mom, hospital, still Catherine's husband and about four other guys from the church. After Malene's ordeal, Dad was a starving farmer as a young man, trying to farm, and they didn't have any money. Four men from the church went out to Skid Horse Cemetery, that was great. But I'm giving this for a communion meditation. Talk about the fellowship that we have. That as we come around the Lord's table, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this together, this fellowship with one another. And I'm going to read to you a little bit from 1 John. It says, what is from the beginning that we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life? And the life was manifested and seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested us. That's what we're supposed to focus on and remember is Christ. That eternal life was offered through Him. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship. We want you with us, He's saying. We want you to know the same thing about Jesus Christ and His love. And we want to share that with you. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. If you're not there, we're missing it. That hit me in that letter. This is the message we have heard from Him and asked you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There were bad things going on. There's so much so in society today, we fellowship with bad things. And when you deal with it, you can't deal with it. And this is the problem. You can deal with it when you know who Jesus Christ is. And you know that He's waiting for you. And He wants you with Him. And He wants to know about your problems. And He wants to rejoice with you. And so much so that He said, I die for you. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I was talking to you there this morning, and I said, we were talking about, I talked have in common. We're going to talk about lots of things, I'm sure. But we both can't wait to see Jesus again. Maybe we should take communion in that. And if it becomes too commonplace, that's my fault. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from righteousness. We're supposed to be, when we protect these animals, we're supposed to be looking at ourselves. The need that we have for Christ. Where we have fallen short. And not in a way that we're looking for someone to browbeat us that Christ is going to do, but a Savior that wants to know. Problem. How can I help? I've already helped you. There's nothing that my sacrifice on the cross can't win. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We take these emblems today. Let's remember the power that Christ has. The power is not in a piece of cracker. It's not in a little cup of grape juice. The assurance that God gave part of Himself for us, and He wants us with Him. Flawed as we are, can't wait to see us. Can't wait to share in your joy. When we get to heaven, that's all we're going to need to worry about. That letter is not going to have any sad things in it either. Even though we might have had lots of sad things in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, let us keep the focus on You as we take these emblems. As a reminder of Your power, Your providing, Your longing for us to be with You forever and take reassurance and joy in that. Help us to love better than we do, that others may know that as well. Guide and direct us throughout the rest of the service that we will take things with us into the world and into our own lives that will bring us closer to You as well. And help us with that fellowship that it may grow larger and larger in Your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. friends are glad to do so, and in celebration to you for it, and also that it will affect other people outside your kingdom and bring them to you.
We're on our prayer time right now. What we do is at the first every month, we have, like we've been doing for several months now, is we have prayer Sunday. So I've asked three individuals to pray this Sunday as we start our prayer month. And one thing that Jared mentioned in his communion time was how the fellowship is so important to one another. And so if you would have a chance to stay after today, it's amazing how when we pray together as a church family, how encouraging that is. And so we're going to be praying through the June prayer guide. And the June prayer guide is about parenting and how parent children. And so I've asked Mary and Ashley to pray today. I've asked Mary to pray for dads. I've asked Ashley to pray for moms. And I've asked Rick to pray for our nation and Mr. Penn. And so let's have prayer time here.
Take the time to pray for dads, for fathers. If you wouldn't mind just bowing your heads and praying with me. Lord, we thank you for the awesome gift of being a dad, of being a father. We thank you for being the perfect example of what a father looks like, Lord. We just thank you for the worldly fathers that we have been given, and we just ask that you continue to guide and direct us as we focus to be fathers, Lord. We just pray that even though we're going to screw up multiple times, that we continue to seek to do the job in which you have given us well. Lord, I just pray for fathers everywhere, Lord. That is a huge, huge role, Lord, and it can drastically shape the minds and the behaviors of our children, depending on how the father interacts and whether he is there present or not. So I just pray for fathers everywhere, Lord, and it's in your name I pray.
Lord, today we're praying for mothers, and there are so many expectations that the world puts on us, the media puts on us, that just we need ourselves and we don't look to you for our words. We look to how it looks on Facebook, we look at Instagram, we look at what others view us as, and not as who we truly are and children of you. Lord, help us to find our worth in you. Help us to find who we are in you. Help us to support our husbands. Help us to love our children and to constantly seek after you and help those that we're raising seek after you. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be a mother. I ask that you would continue to help in that and love your Lord.
So Jeff sent me a text one day. I don't know, the church today had to pray for repentance of the nation, and there's just a lot of evil in our nation right now. It seems like, you know, with the shooting in Raleigh, Texas, shooting in Ames, Iowa, at the church, you know, at a youth rally. And last night I was sitting there and I got this text.
sometimes things remind us of what we need to be reminded of. You know, marriage is a great reminder for a lot of things. Marriage is a great reminder. Sometimes I find this is true for a woman in a marriage, that if a man says he will fix it, he will. There's no need to remind him every 6 months. I find it for husbands in a marriage. I find for husbands in a marriage. If your wife says she'll be ready in 5 minutes, she will. No need to remind her every 15 minutes about it. And all the women said, amen. I've also found this true for a man that did this one time, not a good reminder, but he said this about reminding his wife. He says, I love running my fingers through my wife's hair. It's a nice way to remind her that I love her and that we're out of napkins. You know, we have our local bank here, and I love Amber and the crew over there. And I find that the employees at the bank are very nice to me. They're very nice because occasionally they'll call me and remind me that my loans are outstanding. Reminders. How do you persuade elephants to go swimming? Remind them they have their trunks already on. Oh boy, here we go. Aging is just a reminder of what you really want when you get older, to be younger. And then finally, some of you people will know this name, George Burns. Remember George Burns? George Burns. He said this, by the time you're 80 years old, I won't look at the ones who's 80 in this room, but by the time you're 80 years old, you've learned everything. You only have to remember. Reminders. How many of us need reminders? You need reminders? What's some of the common ways that you can get reminders in your day? How do you remind yourself in your day? How do you do it? Write it down. Okay. All right. What else? Cell phone. Now, Jim, do you use a cell phone to remind yourself of things? You do. Good. Okay. I have a reminder thing on my phone, too. I remind myself a lot. Siri is my best friend. I changed my Siri to a man because I'd sooner yell at a man than a woman. But anyway, Siri is a good reminder for me as well. Post-it notes, sticky notes, whatever. They put sticky notes on computers for reminders now to remind you of things. So, reminders. We all need reminders. You can fact check yourself on that, but we all need reminders. Doesn't matter. Everybody needs to be reminded of something. Everybody does. And your faith, more than anything else, needs help. And then you need to realize that. Your faith needs help. And your faith needs reminding. Now, Dan had a song today. I think it's the second song. It's powerful for us because Jesus said something in John 14. I'm going to take you there with me. John 14 says this. Let's read this together, okay? But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And so it's apparent to us that Jesus knew what about our faith? We need reminding. We need reminding. That's why it's so critical to show up in Bible study. So critical to show up in church. So critical to show up in small groups because you need reminding. We easily forget. And I want you to think about how many times in a given day you forget things. How many times have you left the grocery store only to get home and you didn't buy the very thing you went to go buy? Have you done that before? How many times have you had a call from somebody, maybe from Jason, the sheriff's office, and you say, well, the cows are out. Well, how come? You forgot to what? Shut the gate. You forgot to close the gate. We all need reminders. It's common things. And your faith is no different. Your faith is no different. You need reminded to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. You need reminded to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. And guess who's there to help you do it? It's the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you do that. And so he lives inside you to remind you how to remain faithful to Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit reminds you to stay faithful to Jesus, you in turn, think about this, you in turn become a better relational person, not only to Jesus, but who else? How about people around you? When you start remaining faithful to Jesus because of the remindings of the Holy Spirit, you become a better relational person, not only to Jesus, but those around you. It really benefits all relationships around you when you choose to be reminded of what the Holy Spirit is trying to remind you of. Now, Paul, when he wrote the book Romans, he's writing to the church in Rome. And he reminds them of something about themselves. Paul reminds them that these Roman Christians, they are not in the flesh, and that is only listening to the flesh and desires, but they are now in the Spirit. He reminds them of this. Now, being in the Spirit means that you acknowledge and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8, verse 9 with me. Okay, Romans 8, verse 9. Look there with me. Look what the Bible says, the very first part of Romans 8, verse 9. Look what he says. Paul says this, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh." You're not in the flesh. Now think about this, church. What would be the reason that an apostle would remind Christians that they're not in the flesh? Well, they're forgetting. They're forgetting. They're doing some things in the flesh, perhaps, and they're forgetting. And I believe the Roman church struggled, like any other church, even this church. Guess what we forget as Christians? We forget truth. And when you forget truth, guess what happens to your life? You make a mess. You mess yourself up when you forget the truth. We start remembering things we don't need to remember. We start doing things we don't need to be doing because we forgot the truth of Jesus Christ. So as John reminds us in that John 14 passage, quoting Jesus, think about this, folks. Don't miss out on this. The Holy Spirit is critical in our life to remind us of biblical truths. He's critical to remind us of biblical truth. So you and I have to be thoughtful. This is a move into our message time now. So if you've got your sermon outline, you can follow along with me today. But look what the Bible says in Romans 8, 9. Here's what we're going to find out first is this. The presence of the Holy Spirit reminds me I belong to Jesus. Remember that song we used to sing years ago when someone came out of the waters of immersion? Now I belong to Jesus. Well, before I became a Christian, I was a Blaine. And there's something that I was told over the years as a Blaine by my dad and other people in my family that Blaines are supposed to be angry people. I heard that all my life, growing up, that we're just supposed to be an angry person. I'm supposed to be an angry person. Anger is our bent. And that's the true fact. In our home when I was a child growing up, whoever yelled the loudest won. That's the way it worked. And so I was bent on being an angry person. Now, something that I'm curious about, maybe you find this to be true as well, that when you're told you're supposed to be something and you believe it, guess what you do? What you believe. Okay? When you're told you're supposed to believe something and you believe it, that's what you do. And what if you believe about yourself, you will give all your energy and application to it. So when anger came in my life, or a reason became angry in my life before I became a Christian, boom, I became angry. Okay. But something shifted to me a number of years ago. I became a Christian, 28, immersed in Christ, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that. And I began to struggle with anger even more. I can remember one time in particular when I heard the Show Me Home, Kay called the house, and we had 11 kids in our home. And it was just a busy place because we were raising kids. And Kay called, I said, "Jeff, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm just disgusted. I'm angry and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it." I was convicted of the Holy Spirit, convicted by the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. I do not want to be an angry person. I do not like my sinful behaviors of anger. I don't like how I am when I'm an angry person. So this is what I began to do. I began to focus on how I didn't want to be. I began to focus how I didn't want to be. And so I would say this over and over. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be like this person or that person in my family. I don't like the sinful behavior of my anger. I don't like it. I want to be angry. I want to be angry. Any idea what happens? Think about this. Any idea what happens when you focus on something you don't want to be? What happens? You become what you don't want to be. When you're focused on something you don't want to be, you're still staring at it the whole time. You become what you don't want to be. And so my experience is, when I focus on not wanting to be angry, I became angrier. And so then I had heaps of condemnation, heaps of conviction, because I was not changing as a person. And look, you end up belonging to, think about this, you end up belonging to what you don't want to belong to. That's what happens. You end up belonging to what you don't want to belong to. Not helpful at all. And so, think about this in your own life. What do you have in your life right now that seems to own you? You think about that. What do you have in your life right now that seems to own you? And it's likely it's based on untrue thoughts. You know, Ashley mentioned her prayer time about value and worth. You have untrue thoughts about your value and worth. Do you have untrue thoughts about who you are as a person based on your family or based on your past? Do you have untrue thoughts about your ability to change or be different? You're so frustrated. There's nothing changing in your life. Do you have untrue thoughts about your bent? Well, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. Do you have untrue thoughts on why you just can't seem to stop something, or why you just can't seem to start something? Those are all untrue thoughts. Now look at Romans 8, 9 again. Okay, Romans 8, 9 again. What the Bible says here. You are not in the realm of the spirit, but in the realm of the flesh. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So if we work that verse in reverse, if we have the Spirit of Christ, who do we belong to? We belong to Christ. That's exactly right. We don't belong to untrue thoughts. We don't belong to our past. We don't belong to our family. We belong to Christ because the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. The Bible tells us that if you do not have, think about this, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, something is always competing to own you. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, something is always competing to own you. So this is why you and I have to make a choice. You and I have to make a choice to let the Holy Spirit remind you of God's truth in your past. By the way, when was the past? About 5 seconds ago. Did that happen? Was the past? That's how fast the past happens. Okay? So, regarding your past, because Paul's speaking to the Roman church in verse 9, that you now belong to Christ. That's the present. Belong to Christ because he's referring to what's going on in their past. Look at what he says here. Did you believe in Jesus' death on the cross and forgiveness of sin? Did you believe that? Church, did you believe it?
Yes.
Okay. The second one. Did you believe Jesus' body was placed in the grave and resurrected? Did you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thirdly, did you believe you were forgiven and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit at your immersion? Did you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, if you believe those things, guess what that says about you? You need to be reminded of those things. And that's one thing the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to remind you of these things. How many of you want your prayers answered? Okay, great. Here's a slam dunk 100% way to get every prayer answered. Ready? Here it is. You have got to ask the Spirit to remind you of these things. He will do it every time. You have got to ask Him to remind you. You want your prayers answered? Then you can get them answered this way. Here it is. Number one is this. I am in the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. That means you don't belong to what?
The flesh.
You belong to Christ. You belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You're no longer in the flesh, okay? Second thing is this, the Holy Spirit dwells in. The Holy Spirit dwells in. Are you ever alone?
No.
Nope. You may feel like it, but you're not alone. Okay? Third thing, the presence of the Holy Spirit tells me I belong to Jesus. So in my past, when I was trying to say you were those anger points of my life, do I belong to the Blaine family?
No.
I belong to Jesus, and I happen to be named Blaine. That's first priority. I belong to Jesus. Second point we're making to this as we go through Romans 8 together. The Holy Spirit reminds me, that my spirit is right with God. That my spirit is right with God. Look at Romans 8, verse 10. Look what the Bible says here. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Now, friends, I want you to do something with me. I want you to point to the center of your being. Where is the center of your being? Put your hand on that spot. It's right here, okay? This is the center of your being, right? And behind your hand right now is what we call what? The human heart, all right? The human heart is the center of our being. I want to share with you something that's quite impactful. While the heart is the center of our human being, I think the heart is also the center of our spiritual being. Did you know this? There are at least 5 parasites that infect the human heart. 5 parasites that infect the human heart. And so as you think about that, once there is a heart parasite in a large majority of us in this room. And a large majority of us don't even know. Matter of fact, I suspect hardly any of us knows this. 40 million Americans are infected by this heart parasite. 40 million Americans. Now if you start moving around, I get it. It's kind of weird. 40 million Americans are affected by this heart condition, by this parasite, I want to see if I can get it right, called Toxoplasma gondii. Toxoplasma gondii. Now that means 12% of us have a protozoan parasite that infects warm-blooded animals and humans and causes disease called what? Toxoplasmosis. And I'm going to show you the life cycle of this bug, okay? It's a protozoan, all right? So what happens is, there's a cat somewhere, and it's been infected because it eats vermin, birds or whatever, and this protozoan creates a cyst in the cat, and the cat eats it, and then every so often the cat gets rid of its cyst in its body. As most things do, they eliminate it. So when a cat eliminates, other critters get it in their life, pig, sheep, whatever. They get this toxoplasmosis bug, this protozoan, and then a human ingests it, and the human can get it. Humans can also get it from blood transfusion from one person to another in a blood transfusion. You can also get it from contaminated drinking water, food, and if you have cats in your house with litter box, you can get this protozoan in your life. Moms can also give it to their babies when they're pregnant. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yes, this is true. All cats should die. Yes, that's true. That's true. True statement. However, all of us have been exposed to this critter, and what's profoundly interesting is that 12% of us in this room have this right now. Okay, have this right now. Now, the problem is that at some point, protozoa goes to your heart muscle, creates a hard cyst in your heart muscle, and then when those hard cysts choose to somehow erupt from the little cyst, your heart can be overwhelmed by protozoa. Okay? And you thought COVID-19 was a big deal. Yeah. Isn't it great to know that you have a protozoan probably in church? But the point I'm trying to make is, did God design the human heart to host a parasite? Did God design the human heart to host a parasite? He did not. God did not design the human heart to host a parasite. So, if I was going to tell you this, let's say, for example, you go to home tonight, and you begin to really embellish the thought process, oh no, I think I may have toxoplasmosis. And then you go call the doctor, and they say, doctor, I think I may have this one. I didn't think you heard it. I heard it in church on Sunday. Well, if you have a cyst in your heart muscles, is your heart right or wrong, as far as health-wise? Is something's wrong with it, okay? Something's wrong. And you can get medication to clear it, okay? It's because your heart was not designed to host a parasite, okay? I want to share with you something. Remember, I told you the center of our being is your spirit or your heart, okay? So we're about the spirit. It's the same way with your heart. Your spirit was not designed to be a host for a parasite, which is the center of your being. Well, what kind of parasites exist for the human spirit or the human heart? There's a great guy that wrote a book called Alice Wheeler, Renovation of the Heart. He put some words together on paper with a diagram. I'm a diagram person. I love diagrams. There are four parasites that feed on the human spirit or heart, spiritually. Thoughts, feelings, social interactions, and your body or your flesh. The image will be on your screen, okay? Let's say, for example, you are this person. This represents your whole being right here. This is from Renovation of the Heart, page 40. It's also on your bulletin, which is your being image there. This is you, the center of you, okay? And here's what comes into your life. You have thoughts come into your life, you have feelings come into your life, you have your body that influences your life, and your social interactions influence your life. Out of those things all influencing your heart, that becomes your actions. Out of all those things influencing your heart, that becomes your character, and that becomes your soul or your being, if you will. And so you have four things constantly bombarding the center of your being. Your thoughts, your feelings, your flesh, and your social life. You know how many people are devastated when they don't give these 5 likes on Facebook? Devastated. People kill themselves because there's not enough likes on Facebook. Thoughts. You know, how many times have your thoughts made you, had you do stupid actions? How many times have your thoughts had you do stupid actions? Or how many times have your feelings come into your heart or your spirit and you do some of the dumbest things based on what you felt? Or what about your body? There's times my wife made 2 pies this week and I've only eaten 2 of them. My body told me to. And there's just some things I'm glad to get into. And the pie over there. But we're not talking pie. We're talking about other things that your body tells you to do. Have sex with this person. Get drunk here. Get high there. You name it. There's a number of things that your body will tell you to do. Okay? And your actions are based on all these things influencing your heart, your spirit inside you, and you do them. That's what happens. So I'm curious. When your spirit is not right with God, and that's a spirit not right with God, because that spirit is influenced by everything but God. I don't see God in this equation. If you've ever been wondering, and you should wonder this, if you ever wonder how can you behave the way you behave, it's because at that moment your heart was not lined up with you, the Lord. You let all these other factors influence your heart and you made a foolish decision. And it's like you're going to make another one again. But I want to share with you the next diagram. That's quite powerful. Okay? So I just want to say this. When your spirit is not right with God, your actions won't be right or pleasing to God. However, God did not design you that way. God designed your inner being, and your heart, your spirit, to be in line with Him. Look at this next image. Okay? This is powerful. This is you right here. This is the center of your being, your heart, your will, your spirit. This is the center of your being. What happens is God's Word and His Spirit comes into your life. Your spirit is changed instantaneously. It's changed. That's a fact. It's a truth. Your spirit gets changed when His Word and His Spirit enters your life. And as you do that, it's properly lined up with God. And as your spirit is lined up with God, guess now who's controlling your mind? It's your spirit lined up with God's will is now affecting how you think. Now determining how you think. It also determines what your body is doing. Do I need to eat 4 pies in a given week? No, 2's probably plenty. Point of fact, there's not talking about pie. We're talking about other things that you do with your body. There are times where you want to cuss, scream, loud, whatever you want to do, act like an absolute fool. And when you do, you've gotten outside of what God has done to your spirit. So now, your body is in line with the spirit that God has renovated when he came inside your being, your heart, your spirit. Socially, I cannot believe some of the things I see on Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram from people call themselves Christians. I can't believe it. It amazes me. I can't believe how I can be out in public with some people who call themselves Christians and socially they act like they've never seen Jesus in their life. Use language and whatever else. I'm just shocked. They're forgetting that their spirit, now in line with God's Word and His Spirit, changes how they act socially. Now their entire being, which is their soul, which includes their character now changes. Have there been people in your life who you've seen come to Christ and say, they have completely changed a person. I don't even recognize them anymore. You're looking at one of them, I have completely changed. I was an abusive man to my children and my wife before I knew Christ. I am not an abusive person because my spirit, heart, and will are aligned with God's Word and His Spirit, and I've changed the way I think, I've changed the way my body does. Tonight, God has changed me. Socially, I engage the world differently because of what He does inside my heart. And this is my character. Everything changes. And what happens is, out of that heart comes evoking faith in Christ, which reestablishes communion with God. That means that when He changed my heart, well, now I have reestablished communion with God. I am now in tune, in line with God. My life is now reanimated in the proper and right direction. I'm now reanimated towards God, and it changes everything about my life. Everything. Now put the two pictures side by side, just so you're aware of it, okay? Next screen there. As you put the two next screen, there you go. You can see the difference there. As I look at this screen, you tell me, which side looks more chaotic to you? Well, the one on the left looks chaotic. Do you see God in this picture at all? No. What you have these four influences my heart and will, and I act. That's why, if you look at this one, here, go back to the last screen. If you look, you notice how it says infinite environment here? Infinite environment. Now, that could be confusing. Jared mentioned it in his community meditation. Go back to those screens here. Okay? What that means is, no matter what is going on around me, I still think the same, my body still acts the same, my social life is still the same, my character is still the same, because my spirit, heart, and will are all in line with God. No matter what happens, what happens around me. No matter what is coming into my life, the news, media, Facebook, Snap, whatever. I'm in conflict with somebody. I can't figure out why. There's just so many things that bombard our soul. You used to be this person. You reacted to everything around you. Now you're this person. what your heart, spirit, and will is lined up with God, and everything goes in line with Him. Yep, the government sucks right now. I don't like how they change the quarters. It's a great, great point. I don't like how they change the quarter. It's okay, I get it. What I'm saying is, I still am who I am on the inside. I'm not going to react in panic. I'm not going to react in fear. I'm not going to react in anger. I'm still the person here. And that's who you are as a Christian. How many people need reminds of that? Yeah, I do. Because I no longer want to be this world. Reacting to the world. I want to be this world here, responding to the world around me. So as you look at verse 8:10 again. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. I'm now right with God in this image. Because I'm right with God, everything else falls in place. Everything else falls in place. I'm not right with God in this image. And because of that, I do things that are just unpleasing to God. Look, your new spirit is now right with God because of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. That determines how you think. That determines what your body does. That determines how you gauge the world around you. That determines your soul, your character traits. And guess what? Is the body still going to die? Yep. Body's still going to die. Yep, still going to die. But it means that this spirit right now, because God has put His Word and Spirit in my, this means that my spirit is now eternal. I have an eternal spirit that's going to spend forever with Jesus. This guy here has no God in his life, no word in his life. His spirit is going where? Going to hell. That's where he's going. He's not right with God. He's not right with anybody else. He's going to hell. So for you and I, the Holy Spirit has to remind us. Remember, we're asking the Holy Spirit to remind us, okay? Ask the Spirit to remind you of these things. Number one is this. Jesus dwells in me. Wow. Are you ever alone? Nope, never alone. Two, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside me changed my spirit from eternal death to eternal life. Friends, that's a big deal. Your inside of you has now been changed in such a way you're no longer destined for eternal death, you're now destined for eternal life. That's a big deal. Three is this. The presence of the Holy Spirit inside me proves I'm right with God. You're right with God. Dwell on that. You're right with God. Are you going to mess it up sometimes?
Yeah.
You bet. Yep. But overall, your spirit is right with God. See, forgiveness, keep moving. Third thing, here it is. The Holy Spirit reminds me, He raised Jesus from the dead and told me. The Holy Spirit reminds me, He raised Jesus from the dead and told me. Look at Romans 8, verse 11. And the Spirit came to raise Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Now look, sometimes when you read the Bible, it's very easy to forget the context. Very easy, okay? And as we look at Scripture, you cannot forget the context of where we are. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Paul says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are aware in Christ Jesus. This means an apostle of Jesus Christ was feeling in his life what? Self-condemnation. Serious self-condemnation. That's why you can't read Romans 8 or read Romans 7. You look at Romans 7. Paul was dealing with self-condemnation. Didn't like how he behaved with and he was still dealing with the emotional weightiness of sin. But he had a sense of hope. And he wanted to convey that hope to who? Us. Look. It's easy to get discouraged. Amen? It's easy to get discouraged. Again, what Jared mentioned and Ashley mentioned in their prayer time, that there are behaviors in us, and we see behaviors in the world, and we see death every day in this world. Rick mentioned that too. That it's easy to be discouraged, and discouragement is a big deal, because sometimes we're fighting discouragement not only day by day, but even moment by moment. It's so easy to be discouraged. So easy to be discouraged. Now, I want to share with you something. I want you to reflect on just a moment. Just a moment. On what Jesus' body looked like when He went to the tomb. I'm going to show you some imagery. Actually, Derek's going to show you some imagery on the screen. It's going to be silent. It's going to be quiet. And I'm going to try to share with you what I'm seeing and share with you what we're seeing. But I just want to but I just want you to picture this image before we go much further this message time. So as Jesus was coming up to the cross of Calvary, Romans were very good at torture. And one of the things they were good at doing was making sure that you knew pain before you died. What he's holding in his hand is a cat of nine tails. A cat of nine tails is a scourge. It had nine leather straps on it. In those leather straps was metal, bone, and you can see in that image there, you can literally tear pieces away from that table. Jesus, prior to going to the cross of Calvary, was tied up with a skin taunt. And this is actually very sterile compared to what happened to Jesus. Jesus would have been stripped completely naked. Completely naked. And then they would have, as they beat him, they would have beat him on the back, up his back. And then when they're done beating on his back, they then turn him over, and they did on this imagery as well. Completely naked, beating him from the top to his head, and then from his front down. Completely beat. As you contemplate the reality of what Jesus had to go through, terrible amount of suffering. Terrible amount of suffering. And then when Jesus was done getting beat from the cat of nine tails scourge, he had to carry a patibulum, which is a cross member of the cross. He had to carry a patibulum on his back. How do you think Jesus' flesh would have looked like once he went through that? He would have been a congealed mass of skinless person, both in his front and back. It is said that anywhere from 7 to 8 out of 10 people were disemboweled and they were scourged. Disemboweled. It is also said that when they were scourged in those people, that you could actually see their inner organs as the flesh is ripped away from their bodies. This is our Jesus. He did that. Jesus would carry the patibulum to Calvary, which is a rough hewn cross. He would carry the whole cross. He would carry just a patibulum across his back. He would went to Calvary. They would have then lashed it to the cross. They would have put a nail spike right under his wrist bones right there. Between his radius and his ulna, that way that when he hung on the cross, the wrist bones would hold it in place. It's likely there was four nails, and it's likely that the center of the cross down, his feet were on either side of the cross, one nail driven there, one nail driven there. And he suffered on that cross miserably. And then when they checked him to make sure he was dead, what did they do? They put his spear in his side. I want to ask you again, take for a moment in your mind just to imagine what the body of Jesus looked like when he went to the tomb. So if you could describe Jesus' body, what word would you use? What is it?
Unimaginable.
Unimaginable?
Unrecognizable.
Unrecognizable. Good word.
Mutilated.
How do you think Jesus' body looked that first resurrection morning?
Perfect.
Except for scars. And Jesus gets the scars because Jesus always remembered what he did on the cross. That's why he gets the scars. His body looked restored. He then had what kind of body at that point? Perfectly resurrected body. A perfectly resurrected body. Look at Romans 11 again. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. All the scriptures inspired by who? God, specifically the Holy Spirit. How would it make sense that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead to be raised the same bruised, battered, tortured, disfigured body? How would that make sense? First one to the tomb of the day was who? Mary. How would it make sense that the same body Jesus went to the grave in is the same body came out of the grave? How would that make sense? Would it make sense? No, it would not make any sense. It only makes sense that when Paul says in Romans 8:11 that the Holy Spirit would tell us that Jesus arose from the grave on that day with a brand new resurrected body. It's the same for us. It's the same for us. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin through his cross and what he's done for you, you get to experience your brand new eternal resurrected body. Friends, are we living it? Are you living it? You know what that gives us every day in this world? You know why there's pain and heartache in this world? People don't have hope. They don't have hope beyond the grave. They only have hope for the here and now. That's all they have. And you can't legislate. You can't elect a politician, a politician to do that. The only thing the only way that comes into this world, and Jared mentioned that, we got to take stuff from here and take it. The only way that works in this world is that you and I truly believe that when Jesus came out of that body, he was a new person. We're missing it. Don't you see the hope in that? Deeply saddened that I miss the hope of my own life sometimes. I get focused on so much other stuff. And so when the last trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes back, listen, I'm going to have the same renewed mind. I have a renewed mind now. Some of you think, I know you're a preacher. Are you sure? I'm sure I have a renewed mind. I have been completely renewed. Because my spirit has been renewed. And so, because my spirit's been renewed, I have a renewed mind. I have a renewed soul. I also engage the world differently. But this is also what I know, is that when Jesus comes back and I come out of the grave, I have plans to be in the grave at some point. I hope you already made your plans. This is going to happen. I have plans to be in a grave, but I also have plans to leave that grave. And when I have plans to leave that grave, guess what I'll look like? I'll have the same mind, same character, but I'll have a brand new body. A brand new resurrected body. I'll be the same person about a brand new resurrected body. And I get to be where? I get to be a Jesus. And this is why I think it's so pivotal. Look, you've got to ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of these things. You have to. You must ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of these things. Okay? The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus both in me. Man, that's powerful. Oh, church, do you realize how powerful that is? Can you imagine how Jesus looked going into the grave and now what he looks like came out of the grave? That's you! Before you knew Christ, this is how you were. When you came out, this is how you are now. Then when you come out of the grave, it's going to be an amazing concept. And the same person raised Jesus from the grave is the same person who also. That's powerful. I can't even. I'm a pitiful preacher to try to convey that to you. But that's powerful. And then the Holy Spirit. Will also raise me from the grave. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I know I've said this lots of times, but I mowed three cemeteries when I first came here to share it, and I always thought, man, if Jesus comes back now, this is going to be a sight. This is going to be a sight. This is going to be a big deal. It's going to be a sight. The third thing is the Holy Spirit working in me today, and in my resurrection, the Holy Spirit working in me today, and in my resurrection gives me hope. Friends, that's a big deal. I have hope today because I know that when Jesus comes back, I will have my hope realized. And I'll be raised again. That's powerful. Well, I had a unique engagement this week. I want to share it with you to wrap up tonight with Joe. Unique engagement this week. Steve Runyon came over and helped me take some pipes out of our house. We have cast pipes in our house. And the cast pipes that have been there so long, I think the house is close to 100 years old. You and I were talking about it yesterday, or one day this week, and they're close to 100 years old. And the pipes have rusted out, the cast pipes have rusted out. And that was about 10 years ago. And so 10 years ago, the cast pipe rusted out. What was happening was, this is really gross and disgusting, but it does happen. The stool and the shower upstairs were going down this cast pipe because it rusted out one through the spot. All that sewer and shower water was going into my wall of my house because it rusted out. I didn't find it until the wall started buckling because of the water, because the mortar and lath started buckling. And so I had some guys that didn't come over to help me fix it. We just did a band-aid fix. We just took a little PVC pipe and band-aid it, put some wash on, a little silicone, and hope it fit. And as far as I knew, there was nothing coming out in the wool anymore after that. And so, on my mind since 10 years ago, like, we've got to get this fixed. We've got to get this fixed. We've got to get this fixed. Get this fixed. Have you ever dealt with cast iron before?
Yeah.
It's disgustingly heavy. And so, to build this cast iron, it was in the wall. They built the wall around the cast iron, so we had to take out the wall. And then we went to cast iron, clear the ceiling, clear the roof line. Okay? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but some of you do. I want to hear you. I feel you, brother. Are you there? I feel you, brother. Okay. So what we had to do is we had to put a brace in the ceiling joist, drill pilot holes for eye bolts, and use straps. And it'll lower the cast down just a little bit at a time, because if you cut it off at once, guess what that would do? We didn't want it to move. And so we cut, lower down, cut, lower down, cut, lower down, and by the time we're done, we had 30 foot of cast. And if you've ever seen cast fiber, I had dealt with it. It's disgustingly heavy. So that was Thursday. So Thursday, we had no drain for the upstairs. None. Bathrooms up there, sinks up there, showers up, no drain. I'm worn out. I'm beat. I'm absolutely exhausted Thursday night. I'm just beat, spent. My pain is at through the roof. I'm challenged physically. I go upstairs to my bathroom and I turn on the sink water. Water's still on. I just have no drink. See, I need you all there to remind me. I come back into my bedroom, and at that point, Stephanie says, "What are you doing?" You're waving. We don't have a drain to turn on the water. Oh. So I went downstairs, and there's the water coming out of that sink drain right on top of one of Stephanie's shelves in her office. I stuck a bucket there real quick. It's too late then. I'm just wondering, if I need reminding the simple things of life, how much reminding do we need about simple things? We need reminding. Friends, we really got to start incorporating in our prayer time, in our thought processes, one simple thing. Holy Spirit, please remind me. And guess what it is? Hit with it. Hope before you make a mess. I want to pray for you real quick, and let's stand together, and we'll sing our last song. Derek, I don't know when that last song is going to end. I'll try to interrupt you. Jesus, we love you, and we give you praise for being so kind to us. Lord, we're just very thoughtful today. At least, I hope that we're thoughtful of how much we... I'm really encouraged by you. I have a sink moment at least once a day, it seems like. But you're very kind to stay. You're very kind to talk, encourage, and remind. You're very kind to convict. And so, Spirit, we're just so grateful that your presence allows us to be right with you. Jesus, thank you for going to the cross, and you said that unless you go away, the Spirit doesn't come. And so we're thankful that you went away to sit with the Father, that the Spirit can be with us. Love you, Jesus, and pray this morning.
Jeff, what song you want?
That last one, Holy Spirit.
It's not on there.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, you said?
Yes, sir. No,
not
that one.
Not that one. Which one?
That one's called Holy Spirit.
How about that one?
Yeah.
You like that one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go that one.
Holy Spirit, guide my vision. Help me see the way you see. Always Jesus, ever Jesus. Christ in all is Christ in me. share.